everyone, and welcome to another fantastically fabulous freaking episode of the Black Tower Podcast from your favorite boys in kind of black. There's black on my shirt. I'm kind of in maroon. I'm repping the Gamecock maroon color, even though I'm sure we lost our last seven games or however many games are in this season for college football. I'm sure we lost. Still love you. Go Cox. Anyway.
Go Cox.
I'm your Bijan Mahal, Andrew, hailing from the real USC, the one founded in like the 1800s, not the fake one on the other side of the country.
And I'm Josh, the Sorovan Mahal, and it's time to get tainty.
The way you spanked that cap off made me feel some kind
of
way.
One more, because you sexy. Because you sexy. And as Morshadi doth quote, you gotta love them cocks. He's not wrong.
The Gamecocks, YouTube. Wrong. The Gamecocks, nothing untoward. And if you think something dirty, then that's your fault and you're the problem.
Yeah, right? That's on you. As Dee Snider said in the, I think it was the early 90s, late 80s, well, if that's what you think of when you listen to my music, then that's because you're a pervert.
Yeah, you know?
He actually said that about Tipper Gore, which I thought was hilarious.
I know who that is.
Al Gore's wife. She was leading the crusade to get the parental advisory sticker on. Actually, she was leading the crusade to get. Yeah, she wanted artists to have their lyrics edited. She didn't want them to be able to say the swear words and the dirty things. She wanted that to be removed, and you can't say that anymore. And you had a bunch of artists coming out of the woodworks fighting for freedom of, you know, speech, free speech, freedom of expression, and how that's art, and you can't muck with someone's art like that. And Congress, being Congress, decided that, well, you're right. You do have a constitutional right to say what you want, but we have an authoritarian, I'm sorry, a legal right to slap a sticker on it, which actually backfired because albums sold faster when they had that damn sticker on there.
what I'm hearing is, in their effort to ensure that people were informed about potentially explicit content, they actually aided in the sale of art rather than hindering it.
Yes.
You know, if you were to try to play devil's advocate as a proponent of Congress, which I don't know why you ever fucking would.
we're still in
the first 3 minutes. I can't really cuss like that. Oh well. Nobody watches these videos anyway. It'd be fine.
In the specifically during the course of the trial, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister was there, and they said, "Hey, your lyrics are all about, you know, sexual abuse, sexual assault," and he was like, "Nope, actually, no, that's not true." And they brought up all these like all this like fan merch that someone had made, and it was like all BDSM themed. And Dee Snider was like, "Nope, that's not mine. I don't make that. That's not anything I've ever done." And Al Gore like started getting on his ass and be like, "Well, my wife thinks that your music, blah, blah." And he said, "Frankly, if that's how your wife sees my music, that makes her a pervert." But enough politics.
That makes you another P word. And I'll be damned if I'm going to stand here and be lectured by a pervert.
Oh yeah, top well, 10, if you think I'm a top child.
In Peter Griffin lines.
Yeah. Ever exist.
Rob. So speaking of Peter Griffin, another quick tangent before we actually talk about whatever this book series is that we love so much.
The bricks of the Black Tower are held together by the mortar of tangent. 'Tis true.
I like it. I thought the whole Peter Griffin skit of Bird is the Word was funny enough. And I, within the last couple of weeks, actually finally went and watched like the actual footage of the dude singing "Bird Is the Word." It is so much better. It is absolutely unhinged, especially for the era. Like running around in a circle, flapping his arms like a bird, like
surfing. Bird.
Yeah, Surfing Bird. Yeah, that's the actual name of the song. If you haven't seen like the actual like black and white footage, Go watch it. It is a treat. It will lift your spirits, regardless of what mood you're in. Unless you're too happy, then it'll lift them even higher. Yeah,
that's true.
Like that Paramount Plus commercial for the Super Bowl.
Can it take you higher? Yes, it can. Bam. All up in your face with some Creed. All right, so it's the Black Tower Podcast. We've got a subject tonight that we are things that we're actually talking about, that we're actually going to talk about that actually have something to do with the actual Wheel of Time books. What y'all think about that?
The what now?
Why'd you look like you suffering from scarlet fever there, boy? Now you look like you jaundice, like your liver not happy.
Bro, that's, I can't do anything. I don't know what the, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. I didn't change anything about any of that. I mean, I can make this a little lighter. Let's see. How come this happens every so often where I go in and I mess with setting? Oh god. what does gain do? And I don't mean like the whatever detergent. Brightness up a little bit, contrast down, up. Right about there. What's the saturation like? Oh, goal. Yeah, it's just black and white it out. Kind
of. Actually, dude, go back to the black and white. Go back to the black and white. You got like a whole Sin City aesthetic going on right now.
Because you can actually see the red of the mic and the red of the flash.
Yeah.
That's the only color that shows up. Yeah. I'm amazed that I got that kind of reference because I've actually never watched Sin City. So. Start the clock on out. Fuck you.
Shut up.
Turn off HDR. Nothing. Nothing changes. What about auto white balance? Oh, cool.
Bro, you look like
you accidentally walk into Aphrodite's room.
Chewing up on some blueberry pie gum, only it's cherry pie instead of blueberry pie. There it is, Violet. You're turning violet, Violet.
What is going on with this thing? Nothing helps, man. Nothing helps. Maybe I do have John. Who the hell knows, man? Wait, are there any
we'll figure
filters
it out
on
these days? Dude, that one, you look like a photograph from the 70s. Look at this photograph. Not that one. Every time I do it makes me laugh.
Let's see. This is the film filter. Oh, that's worse.
That's bad.
I look like Saint Nick drunk cartoon character.
You look like a deranged Saint Nick, bro.
This is called glaze.
Glaze your face? Wait, what? Hi.
Mono B.
So tonight we're talking about something that's actually a bit of, if it were a character, it would be a background breakdown, but it's not a character. So we're going to call it a one-hit wonder.
Yay.
And as you know, one-hit wonders are topics of conversation, topics that we want to talk about that are like objects that we feel deserve a little bit more love and discussion. In this case, do you want to tell them what? Do we need a spoiler warning? Maybe we should spoil them
first. Yeah, we're going to spoiler warning. And
yeah, let's do that.
You know, I chose this spoiler warning specifically because I knew Morshadi was going to be listening. So here you go. This episode's spoiler warning brought to you by some of your favorite people.
This episode contains spoilers from the entire Wheel of Time series.
If you have not read the series, you are at risk of being spoiled.
You have been warned.
I just love the sound of their voice.
Oh, it's melodious, man.
It is. It is.
Melodious.
I love it. Okay,
Morshadi loves it too. LOL means laying on
lots
love.
Of love.
That's probably closer to what it actually means. Yeah, fair enough. Anywho, we're gonna talk about trees with an S.
Trees.
trees.
Smoke trees every day.
I mean, you can, I guess. Especially if you work for the Forestry Commission. But yeah, so we're going to talk about trees from the Wheel of Time. There's two specific types of trees we're talking about. We're going to talk about the Chora trees, however you want to say it.
Chora.
Yeah. I generally say Chora trees. I mean, what is a
Chora? I've always said
Chora. What, a really small, sugary tree.
Bro. I'm about the Chora life.
Have you ever thought about how, like, broccoli is just a bite-sized tree? And that just makes us like really big beavers. Eating the fucking trees, dude. You ever had steamed tree? It's fucking wild.
Dude, fuck off. Fuck off, you spooky bitch.
Another fantastic quote. part of me does wish we had like an on-screen timer somehow that was just like, it's been this many seconds since they talked about Wheel of Time. I think whoever would be actively doing that would be like just far too stressed out from the amount of work. Oh man.
All right, Chora trees. What's the first one that we meet in the series?
Do we want to talk about the first one we meet, or what they are, or both? Or...
Oh yeah, let's go off what Which they are. One? Let's go.
Technically, the first representation of a Chora tree that we see is the access key leaf on a waygate, because it is a trefoil shaped leaf made of stone that you pull off, and then you go around the backside and you put it back in. On. That's a very complicated reach around, but it is the way.
It is.
Chora trees, they are somewhat considered constructs, but not in the same way that Trollocs and the Nim and the Golem and all are considered constructs. These are more along like the early stages of constructs. We have plenty of plants like this in our actual world. These are genetically engineered organisms.
Yes.
Originally created using the One Power. And the notable thing about the Chora trees is they emit an aura of peace and well-being. So,
In Firefly, right? When they made the movie Serenity. And they had like a pheromone that they would like disperse on the new settlements, right? On the new planets when they had settlements there to keep people more like low key, more, a little bit more docile, a little bit more peaceful. And it didn't work on like 1% of the population, and they became the Reavers. why does this feel like whatever that was? Only like organic.
Did Morshada give the answer? Was it Miranda?
Miranda? You're a Miranda.
Or did he just randomly say Miranda in our chat for?
I think he just said Miranda, like Martha, but with more syllables.
Then he realized his mother's name was Martha too.
He realized his mother's name was Miranda.
G23 Paxillian hydrochlorate, or simply known as Pax, Latin for
Pax. The Pax.
See, if you tell me Pax, I think of like Pax River, which is short for Patuxent River, which is a site we support.
Okay.
Well, not us specifically where I am, thank God. Though the mileage per diem would be fantastic. Miranda was the planet. Oh, okay. I never watched Firefly, so that's... You're asking the wrong person those questions, but I'm fluent in Google. So,
okay, you got to watch the TV show. It's
all
it's
I ever heard was like it was such a great show, but they didn't renew it, so everybody was like disappointed. And I already know how that feels with anime, because it happens in like at least 50% of anime.
But the reason they didn't renew it was because of like the stupidest reason ever. But anyway, this is not a Firefly podcast show.
I mean, it could be.
It could be. We can do that.
We can steal somebody else's idea and do live rewatches of Firefly. You know, it's the only reason I hate that I've already gotten rid of Netflix, or I would be watching something. But anyway, Chora Trees, they omitted this. Oh, look who's here! It's the wine. Uh-huh. He who comes with the wiener. I mean the wine.
With the weenie.
Yeah, that's his After Dark persona. He who comes with the wiener. So yeah, the Chora Trees emitted a sense of peace for any who passed beneath their branches, and they were grown in abundant quantities in the cities during the Age of Legends, especially in Visayne and Perrin Deason. It said that a city without Chora Trees in the Age of Legends was as bleak as a wilderness. It could be speculated that they contributed significantly to the sustained utopian peace of that age, keeping the citizens in a constant state of government-controlled suppressed rage. I mean, content.
Okay, but for real, just reading that, right? Like, it... Did you award yourself these trophies? Because you know those don't really count.
What came first, look, the trophy or the wine?
As you read the books, right? The show can kind of fuck off with this one, because the only real hint we get with the show,
no, Josh, our yachts, no,
is, I know, right?
I can feel them being repossessed.
Moraine, whenever you open up a gateway, using channeling, the weave kind of creates a trefoil leaf shape.
Your lover shows up and forces you to close it, betraying all of your trust and love in them.
Yeah, that's right. And then apparently there was a deleted scene where Patton Fane had an actual trefoil leaf.
It's funny because I didn't see it coming at all.
Walked right into that one. Honestly, also that, you know what? Give this man the double broken crown.
Oh, damn. Yeah, we can't do triples now. Oh,
damn, sir. Well done, sir. Double broken crown awarded to he who comes with the wine. Well done, sir.
Fantastic work. Oh, anyway.
What was I? I was going somewhere with that.
Finally.
Shoddy says that he broke too. So here you go. It's triple crown.
Yeah, no, we can do triple crown. Yeah, there we go. I'd like to thank the hub.
Chora Trees. So when we
we're talking about things.
So the show has like extreme minimal mention of the Chora Trees, and there's just no guarantee we're gonna get any real substantial interaction with the Chora Trees in the TV show. However, in the books, the Chora Trees are this almost legendary thing, right? There's a literal war fought over one. And, right, it was the Chora, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was under a different name, but...
A Chora by any other name?
Yeah, that one. But this is the war in which Rand was... born, right? The circumstances of his birth were made possible by this war. So the tree itself plays a very large role in the books, and we're almost supposed to have this like reverence for the Chora tree. We're almost to have this, it's sort of a mythical level
object. Let's see what happens whenever you don't respect the fucking tree.
The Aiel come in and fucking smack your peepee. That's what happens. They smack it hard. Yeah. No. The thing is, though, is that when we read that description, and this is where I was going with this, when we read that description, they almost feel like government propaganda control machines, right? Like, I hate to be sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? I hate to be sort of snide or, damn, I cannot think. Like a conspiracy theory, but it doesn't work.
It makes me think about the whole, like, the whole group of people that legitimately believe that birds aren't real, that they're government surveillance drones. Everybody's walking around Perrin Deason just being like, the trees, they're not real. Louis Theron's walking around like, I am the dragon, I speak for the trees. And for some fucking reason, they're speaking Vietnamese.
Well, and the thing, and that's where I was going with that. It's just, the thing is, it sounds, I hate to kind of say it like that, because like I said, we read it in the books, and there's a firm reverence for these trees that are thought to be largely extinct. But is they it, were, as was far it as the really, was considered. Yes, as far as the Westlands was concerned, King Laemon and Carrion had the last known Chora tree.
Kinda, yeah.
And he cut it down to make his throne, which started the Io War. Also, fun story that you learn when you read Origins of the Wheel of Time. For years, I suspected, but was not confirmed until reading Origins of the Wheel of Time, King Laemon of Carrion was a name taken from the Book of Mormon. You are welcome. That's now a thing you know.
Hmm.
Huh. I don't know how Robert Jordan got his hands on one of those, but at some point in time he did, and he saw the name Laemon, and it stuck with him, and he was like, I'm going to make this guy a total dickhead in one of my books.
I mean, that he did, and I agree with Wine right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to be careful, though, who you say that around. I wouldn't say that. Who you say that around to? Certain people at JordanCon.
He says as he puts it out as a public banner.
Hey, I'm saying I'm advocating against saying it. All right.
We highlighted it as an example. Do not say this in mixed company. It's very bad.
Hey, the warning has been there. So if it does happen, it makes it all that much worse. Not for me, though. I didn't do it.
Does the Chora tree, it does not produce seeds, right?
I don't think they do. Because they wanted to control how many were produced. I think that's part of the genetically engineered thing, is they don't pollinate. I don't expect anybody to be like calm and peaceful under these things if they pollinate. If you live in the South, you know why. Tree jizz on everything.
Oh God! You have a black car? Cool. By lunchtime, it's a yellow car.
It's a color changing car just during pollen season.
I remember the Georgia Pines. The Georgia Pines can fuck off.
Well, that's a lot more than the Georgia Pines there, sir. You don't know pollen until you like see a strong breeze come through the trees and it's a cloud. It's a piss colored cloud that just goes across the sky. It makes what was that movie where the trees got tired of getting cut down, so they fought back and released a chemical that made everybody like uber aggressive?
Lord of the Rings.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I'm pretty sure nobody breathed in pollen and jumped off a skyscraper in Lord of the Rings.
I mean, maybe they did.
No, Gandalf played with a moth, and then he jumped off.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
It was like The Happening, that's it. Wine in with the movie name. I remember watching it and being like, this is so dumb. Yeah. But, yeah, you didn't want that happening. See, get it? Happening? In Perrin Deason. So, like, but yeah, honestly, you didn't want the trees to germinate so that they would just spread like relatively uncontrolled, because of course, this is a government sanctioned peace program. They're going to strategically place them.
You got the trees in Perrin Deason just like dusting like Xanax everywhere.
Be happy and free of anxiety. You got people sweeping up the pollen, pressing it into little pills to take.
Like tree just hanging out, just be like, sup, I'm a chore tree. People down at the roots like, ah!
Hey man, you want some C?
You want some
calm? They call, pollen? Calm. You want some calm? Man, you're looking for some
calm? You want some calm?
They offer a deal at the local club where they put you in a silent room and they give you some calm pills. It's the peace and quiet package.
I love it. And then
we just turned pollen into recreational, not prescribed stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, we did.
But yeah, no, they didn't produce seeds. They didn't pollinate anything like that. The only way to make more was to either use a cutting from an existing one or be part of, I don't know, the Age of Legends Farmers Guild.
Make a new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
I this also is a tree. Like, we can rebuild it. We have the magic.
We have the magic.
We can make it better, taller, calmer.
This is one of the examples of, and I think this is why the book gives it such an air of reverence, because this is one of the examples of an Age of Legends project that was very much a mix of science and magic and botany, and it was just really great.
Oh, it was like the movie The Martian. Not to sound overconfident, but I am the greatest botanist on this planet. Which reminds me, if I'm ever on a spaceship and Matt Damon's there, I'm getting off immediately.
Oh, dude.
Not taking the risk.
Do not go to space with Matt Damon ever.
And don't get on a fast forward with Tom Hanks.
Right. Fast forward to the destruction of Perrin-Decent. Yeah. Right? And you've got Jen Aiel evacuating the city with Angreal, Sangreal, Terangreal, and Chora cuttings.
Yep.
They were, and think about that. Like, the Chora cuttings were as important to them as Angreal, Sangreal, and Terangreal. Like, this is the Jen Aiel leaving on wagons is literally sort of an arc, a human arc. You know, we must preserve our way of life. You guys find a place where all this will be safe. And one of the most important things with that was the cuttings of the Chora tree, that they revered it that much. But again, I have to ask, did Luz Theron Telamon, the dragon who can summon the Nine Rods of Dominion, did he have, like, was this a governmental thing of being like, hey, if we want any peace, you need to preserve that Chora. Preserve that good.
After the Dark One gets released and they see all the forces of the Shadow just freaking out, they're like, this is what happens when you don't have a Chora tree. Oh, no trees? Oh, yeah, see, there's your problem. No trees.
There's your problem, man. Not enough trees, man.
The first thing they try to do is a tree outreach program with the forces of the Shadow. Like, hey, man, would you like some trees?
I gotta ask, like, if it talks about a bunch of Chora cuttings, we know of at least one that survived in Ruidian.
Yep. The one. And if you
the
are
only one that any we know fan
of Norse pagan tradition,
that's
it
right.
Will immediately ring true. Because that is, and the name is
Yggdrasil.
Which I think also has been called a Vendisora in the past as well.
The tree of life. Like
a training. Yep. A Vendisora is the Old Tongue translation of tree of life, just like Yggdrasil is the Viking translation of tree of life, or translates to tree of life in English. Can't really say it's the English translation whenever Yggdrasil was around far before the words tree of life. So, But yeah, so of all the cuttings they had, and it was presumed that a lot were stolen, as a lot was stolen from the caravans of the Jen Aiel. Anyway, in a time of chaos, you know, you would definitely be looking for a tree known to help calm up people that are around it. And presumably they just weren't cared for right, or not planted, or they were accidentally destroyed, or whatever happened, they all wound up disappearing. Ultimately, in the end, there are thoughts that there could have been two other Tora trees that survived, because both the flag of Tarabon and the flag of Almuth have the Tora tree symbols on them. So it's thought that a third could have survived and been in that territory for a couple hundred years before, you know, being destroyed or cut down.
Which makes sense in that particular region because, as we learn, they've been fighting for centuries. And, you know, what do you want to do if you want to get back at someone who finally makes a solid claim on this ancient sacred tree? You destroy the tree. And that's why war sucks. That's why war is the worst, because it really... I once saw a bumper sticker. I know it's kitschy and stupid, but it's kind of true. And I've thought a lot about it. War doesn't decide who is right, only who is left. It's true. You could be morally correct.
I also hate it because of the right left thing. War.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also isn't there the land between Tarabon and Almuth? There's like this like area of land that neither official, like both officially claim, but neither really actually claims or actually holds. I mean, that would make sense if that was where the Tora tree was resided before it was destroyed. But I mean, like,
that could be.
We did a similar thing. There was a tree in the DMZ between North and South Korea that was obstructing views. So troops went out from South Korea to take and trim the tree, and they got injured, shot, whatever, by North Korean troops. And in our typical fashion of, we're going to do what we want to do, and you're going to see that we can do it, we deploy like an entire battalion's worth of people and like a bunch of armor and air support to cut down a tree. Like, when people are just like, oh, what if somebody landed on the moon and knocked down the American flag on the moon, which is bleached white by this point because of cosmic radiation, but would we still spend millions to billions of dollars to send someone up just to put up another flag despite whoever knocked it down? That is exactly what we would do. Exactly what we would do.
The petty energy is real, y'all. Yeah. Do not.
And you know what would happen? It would be a uniting thing for 70% of the country.
Yep.
Be like, who knocked down our flag? Fuck them. I want you to grab their flag, bring it back down here just so I can pay us on it. I don't know why the flag would be brought back to Alabama, but. Anyway, trees that do the opposite of petty. Trees that make you feel calm. Yes. So we do finally see a Vendasora whenever Rand, Matt, and Avienda go into Ruidian. Of course, we only see it from really the Rand perspective. So we get some Matt POV, but it's not... Well, Matt's POV of the tree isn't exactly that fucking great for him. I mean, it is, but it also kind of isn't. Right. Because it's the tree of life, and he winds up kind of doing neck acrobatics from it.
I wonder, does the fact that it's the Avendasora tree have something to do with him surviving?
Yeah, he was choking, but he was pretty calm about it, I guess.
That's one of the things they say that the best thing to do in those situations is to go completely limp, completely relaxed.
Remain calm.
Maybe after Rand pulls him down, maybe that calming magical effect also has healing properties?
I mean, I guess it's possible, but I don't know.
Or maybe the aura of the Chora gave Rand some additional boost he needed to help.
How many strains of like Gondor are going to come out and be named after shit from the Wheel of Time. Like, it's a super strong sativa blend that'll make you forget everything in life, and they just call it Balefire.
Look, I like... I love going to tobacco shops and getting some good pipe tobacco, because they've always got, like, a Lord of the Rings, like, oh, this is Old Tovey. This is, you know, South Farthing Weed. Like, they've always got... Now, it doesn't make any difference. It's just pipe tobacco. Like, it's just loose leaf quality tobacco, right? Great. Awesome. You're a loose whatever. Leaf. I was so excited about going to this tobacco store and getting Two Rivers pipe weed. Like, or tobacco. Not pipe weed. I was so excited.
Just fucking ratting
out. Going and getting some Two Rivers tobacco. And now I can't even do that because the show was like, we don't need them to do anything. They can just die. That's what they can do. We don't need them to do anything.
Well, I mean, what they can do is they can still call it Two Rivers tobacco. And if anybody asks, oh, is that inspired by the Wheel of Time? I'm like, actually, no, it's inspired by ancient Sumer. So, you know, Two Rivers, the Euphrates, and the other one
that I forget the name of. I got it.
Anyway, Rand and Asmodian have this massive fight. During it, of course, when there's anything flammable nearby, you throw fire, because video games have taught us well, which they do, and they burn and damage the living shit out of a Vendasaura. However, Moraine, using the one power, delves the tree and is like, don't worry, guys. Yeah, the Tigris River in the Euphrates. Thank you, Wayne. yes, Moraine delves the tree and says, oh, yes, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. no, she confirms the tree is still indeed alive and that over time it will repair itself. Thus saving Rand from incurring the worst possible wrath from the Ainu. God.
Could you imagine?
If he had killed it?
That would have been a very different book.
It's like, hey guys, the big storm that prevents most people from even seeing Radeon, that's gone now.
Also.
But I kind of like committed layman sins, but even worse because I just destroyed it. I didn't fucking use it for anything. But here I got two dragons, so I'm your character.
I just kind of with the whole thing with the tree in Ruidian.
That tree has a name. Throw some respect on it.
Put some respect in your mouth.
Take your hat off, son. That's the tree of life.
And take your hat off, boy.
Dollar bill.
No, so the Jennail travel. They find safe passage in through Carrion. They go into the threefold land, into the wastes, and they. I gotta sneeze. Hold on. And they go in and they found a city. They start building a city. They become some of the first Aiel. And in this city, they plant what is most likely the final, or a bunch of, the Chora cuttings. Holy crap. And at least one of them survives. You know, now,
I only have one question about them building Viridian. Sorry to interrupt you. Do you think they had bread when they did this? This will make sense in a second. If they had bread. So you could say that if they baked this bread into small little round pieces, that they could have built the city on rock and roll.
I hate you.
Yes, I did interrupt you and do all of that just to make that really bad joke.
Wow.
I am both pleased and disappointed with myself simultaneously.
Which is the best way to be, really. We don't know how many were planted, but at least one survives. One Chora cutting survives, becomes Avendasora, and the Aiel never forget who helped them in their time of need, right?
Kind of. I mean, so when they go through the area that becomes Kyrian,
yes,
it wasn't Kyrian. So it does take the Aiel a while after,
right,
to discover that modern Kyrian are the descendants of the right. Wetlanders that assisted the Gendaiel way back. But essentially, yes.
When everybody else was stealing from them.
Not so well, actually, you, but.
Yeah, no, you're right. Not when everybody else was stealing from them, kidnapping them, killing them, etc., etc., etc. You had this one group of people who helped them, gave them shelter, gave them water, and sent them on their way and sheltered them and protected them. And like I said, then they get into the waste. They found, they lay the foundations for Rowidian. And as Andrew is saying, it takes some time, but they cultivate this tree to be healthy and to grow. And they go, you know what? We need to say thank you to the people who helped us, who aided us, who gave us water. And they bring a cutting of this tree to Kyrian, to now Kyrian. And from my understanding is there's not really a lot of explanation. There's just like these people show up and they're like, here's a tree. Thank you for your gift of water.
They also give them, at the same time, they give them the free passage across the aisleways. As long as they display a banner showing the trefoil leaf of Avendasora or of a Chora tree.
Right.
Which at this point you might as well say of Avendasora.
Right.
So
because that's essentially what it is.
Yeah. They do this and the people of Kyrian have zero idea why this has happened. They're like, okay, like everybody's freaking out because a team of Aiel just came across the dragon wall. And you're just, they show up and they're just like, we brought you a tree and you can travel through our lands as long as you wave a flag that looks like the leaf.
Oh. Okay.
Like, you don't refuse it because it's coming from the Aiel, but also you're just like, what the hell is happening here?
And then Kyrian starts cultivating the tree. They have their own Avendasora, which they call Avendeldora, right? Avendeldora? Avendeldora?
Avendoraldera.
Avendoraldera. Avendoraldera. Avendoraldera. Avendoraldera. That's hard to say. But that's like the name that's given to them. They're given to the tree at that point in time. Avendoraldera.
That one. That name.
It's right there.
Yeah, down there. I also love one of the notes. Although Avendoraldera is a word in the Old Tongue, the translation is not known. The Avenda portion means tree, though.
All right. It probably means tree of confusion. Because why the hell do these people give us a damn tree? We don't know.
Well, maybe it's something like along the lines of like, you know, the Mick prefix. So like McDonald's would be son of Donald.
My name is son of the servant of the fair one. Don't know what that means, but.
My name is son of Will.
I'm kidding, son of Gloin.
Mine's closer to the English or Irish Wilson. So, pretty simple folk. Oh, how do you say that you're the son of Will? Will's son.
Actually, that's got Nordic ruins or Nordic origins, right?
It may somewhere back in there. But it's most commonly known for English and Irish. I don't have a definitive thing of saying one way or the other, so I choose Irish. because I too like the potato. I have. I do. And I have ancestry from both.
I do love potatoes.
Bro. I'll throw down the fucking potato.
That's really what happened. King Layman was like, this thing doesn't do potatoes. What's it good for? Let's make a seed out of it so I can eat some potatoes.
I need a new potato eating chair.
That feels like some real layman energy. Big layman energy.
Yeah, that's why we started calling people lame. You're pretty lame, man.
That's exactly the origin of that. Yep.
Real men drink their potatoes.
That's right. Drink your potatoes as God intended. Right.
Next time you Mother go Mary to a bar, Fireplace. They have a...
In nomine Patris, Filii, Spiritus Sancti.
Next time you go to a bar and they have like the Pinnacle vodkas, like especially if they have the Cinnabon one, be like, yeah, can I get some Cinnabon flavored potato?
Or
actually, I don't think Pinnacle is potato vodka. I think it's probably wheat vodka. But
or you could do
you get the
in
point.
Vino Veritas.
Heard that before. I don't remember what it means.
Oh, that's tonight's movie quote. If you know where that's from, in Vino Veritas. Shut up!
Damn, I don't know where you live, but I can find out. And I will send,
I know where he lives.
I will send glitter dicks to your house.
Many, many dicks of glitter. Okay, Avendaroldora.
Imagine showing up to work, pulling a glitter dick out of your hair.
King Layman decides one day, after drinking a number of potatoes, says, you know, it'd be really cool if I had a big fucking chair out of this fucking tree here. And
I am making it relatable. Now you're making it relatable. Now I'm not so sure Layman did such a terrible thing.
But he did, though, right? He was like,
I mean, you know, I know it was horrible.
You know what I need? I need a big fucking chair. I need something that says I'm the boss. And he's like, let's cut this bitch down.
And not to defend the Kyrians, because we know the full story about why and what an honor it was to be given this, and so how incredibly disrespectful it was to cut it down. But the Kyrian folk had no idea how bad this actually was. They had no clue, because they didn't even know how they got it in the first place. And they were like, I don't know, the Aiel are weird. They probably just gave us a tree because there's so few where they are. That's all it is. Because
they're just fucking weird.
Little did they know, it was one of only two remaining mythical trees created during the Age of Legends. I feel like had King Layman known that key piece of information, he probably would have left it the fuck alone.
I'm going to disagree with you here. For one very important reason. For a number of reasons, actually.
I'm glad it's more than just
King Layman is one of the... Yeah, I know. That's why I corrected myself. Duke. I think... Now, if he had known it was the Avendaldora, I will say this. Maybe they would have got some cuttings. Maybe they would have secured it somehow so that it didn't completely die. But I don't think it would have prevented him from chopping it down. And I believe he did know what it was and was having a dick measuring contest with someone else at the time and wanted everybody to see that he had the coolest fucking chair in the world and thought it would be a flex. Wouldn't even surprise me if he like cut a piece of it off, like a branch had fallen off and they were like, wow, this is really pretty wood. And he was like, you know what? It is pretty wood. I want it for a chair. Like, I can see that happening. And so he's in a pissing contest with someone. He needs to show someone that he's got like the most luxurious whatever of the year. Cuts the tree down, tells everybody, look at my chair. This is great. This is awesome. Secures
like
how
luxurious
him
my wood is.
Secures him as someone who is wealthy and rich and super cool and awesome. And
oh, yeah, because the title King doesn't freaking do that.
But what is the Carrion and King always trying to do? They're always trying to elevate themselves to continue security of their power. Remember, the Game of Houses is still a
kind of. Always trying to elevate themselves to lay better claim to the throne of Caemlyn than Caemlyn can lay to the throne of Kyrian, so that's fair.
I mean, and He Who Comes with the Wine has it absolutely correct in the comments here. Laemon had to chop it down. Otherwise, Rand would not have been born on the slopes of Dragonmount.
And yeah, prophecy would be Laemon. It was like, would have been lost. And the dragon shall be reborn in a house in the hinterlands. Your loving family. No, we got to chop down one of only two trees, reduce their population by 50%, so that one dude who doesn't talk to anybody and broods for 90% of the series can be born on a snowy mountain.
I mean, you know,
way to talk about oversimplifying something to make it sound so trivial and dumb. Oh, yeah, man. But no, I agree. It's one of those. Hindsight, like, yeah, this had to happen for this to happen for this to happen. But if he had never cut down the tree, like, the prophecy would have been different. So
yeah, that's true. That. And that's a whole conversation about, you know, the role of prophecy in fantasy books, which
that's like saying that, like, the Aiel had to be robbed so that only the Avendisora cutting survived, which means that, like, they had to set the Dark One free in order for the dragon to even need to be reborn. Like, it, you know, and it goes back to a point where, like, the circular reasoning just, like, literally translates to Rand had to be reborn. Rand had to be born because Rand had to be born.
Yeah.
It's really confusing when time is a circle, but yeah, fair point. Maybe maybe Laemon was, like, convinced to do it by some Aes Sedai so that it would help fulfill the prophecy. Like,
I mean,
born of the Aiel, but not of the Aiel. Well, how do we get him on this side of the freaking wall? Hey, Laemon, it's time to cut the tree.
Cut down the tree.
Mr. King Laemon, tear down this tree. Laemon smash. Laemon smash.
Tear down this tree.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Well,
anyway, he cuts down the tree. He makes a throne. The Aiel find out about it.
Yeah.
And they go, they lead an execution force, the likes of which have never been seen. They march across the land, killing everybody in their wake. They execute Laemon, but they saunter back into the Aiel Waste and tell the Carrion, huh?
They take his sword. So he had to cut down the tree so that the Aiel would retaliate so that they could take his sword so that Avienda could give Rand the handle so that Rand would chase her through a gateway and have sex in an igloo. I'm actually all on board with this idea now.
Look, sir.
I'm fully here for it now. That's the line of events that I need it to be on board. You know what?
That's it.
Laemon, King Laemon cutting down the tree.
Hashtag Laemon did nothing wrong.
Top five classiest moves of the new era.
A lot of smart people say that tree was bad in the first place. I wanted to make a throne, a big throne, a throne like you've never seen before.
I hate it.
So then Rand is born. We fast forward through all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting that Laemon's last name was actually Damodred.
Damodred, yes.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why Moraine's house is suffering. Because House Damodred is largely blamed for the destruction of Carrion.
So Rand is related to this fucking guy and winds up becoming the Kara Karn in the ultimate blood-based insult to the IU.
Yeah, isn't he also like Moraine's great
cousin,
nephew?
Yeah, something like that. They're cousins, I think.
Yeah, or cousin, like second cousins or something.
Because he's related to Moraine through Tigraine and
Tigraine.
Yeah, through Tigraine. And that's only because of Tigraine's first child that she had before she left and went to the IOAs.
Well, I thought her first child was Galad.
He's only related through Galad because Galad is what brought in the Galad is a Damodred. So he brings in the relation to the Damodred line, I believe.
Right.
Whereas Tigraine was with an Aiel. So it's only through Tigraine that Rand is related to Galad, which makes him related to the Damodreds, which makes him related to King Laemon and Moraine as distant cousins. Yeah. Some parts of this world family tree just kind of go straight up or just curve back on themselves, kind of.
Yeah, it's I am my own grandfather all over again.
Hey, man, you leave Futurama out of this. That was a fantastic Don't worry, you'll be safe in this one lone house out here by itself. Nuclear.
So Galad is half brothers with Rand.
Yep.
Through Tigraine.
Because they have the same mom.
Galad's father is Tarangil Damodred.
Yep. Which brings in the Damodred relation.
And then I'm trying to look and see how
Tarangil. My name is Galad Damodred. No relation.
How is Tarangil related to Moraine? Is what I'm trying to look for.
They're both Damodreds.
I know they're both Damodreds.
God.
Why don't you lick my Damodred?
Why don't you lick my Damodred? Barthaines was a king of Laemon. Cousin of Laemon. Oh my God. Yeah,
Tarangil was the nephew of King Laemon Damodred, the son of Darrison Damodred, and the half brother of Anvari Inloin and Moraine Damodred.
Yes.
So Laemon Damodred is like a fucking half
Moraine blood? Is Rand's aunt.
You mean aunt?
Aunt. Auntie. Oh.
Well, actually,
by marriage. By marriage.
Because Moraine's side of the family married into the Damodred line, didn't they?
Yes. Moraine would have been Tigraine's sister-in-law, essentially. So Rand and Moraine are not blood related, but they are related through marriage.
Yeah. The person that he actually has sex with is actually blood related, so.
Hey, man, what happens in the threefold land stays in the threefold land. Roll tide.
What else do you expect of them damn tree killers? Fucking Carrion and cousins over here.
Carrion and cousins. No, that's what I was going to say. That's the other thing that the Aiel do. And I would have hated to have been one of the Carrion and who was like, we are traitors. We're going to go.
What are you doing, step dragon?
Dyes and wools and hey everybody, we got our trefoil flag, and that becomes essentially an instant death sentence, right?
Threefold land is Alabama canon. I think that would be more like Carrion. I mean,
that essentially becomes an instant death sentence because
Rand and Elaine putting the damn in Damodred.
Damodred. Everybody who's walking the threefold land bearing the flag of the trefoil leaf is identified as someone who is a slur by the name of a tree killer.
Oh, we'll make it awkward now to say the phrase tree killer. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, I went there.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not like now, like they no longer carry that banner because the banner used to be, hey, I'm safe, just let me go through. Now it's literally screams, kill me. Because after you this, like they revoked me. as a Kyrian, like you are barred from the three from the waste or the threefold land or whatever. Yeah. Whatever you're gonna, which is so weird too. Like if somebody looked at me and said you are banned from the desert, I'd be like, okay.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. You can't
go to a barren wasteland anyway. Oh no.
Right.
But then I'd find out about Uzqai and then I'd be like, well shit.
Oh well shit.
Well shit, Flyer. Yeah. I can't see. You can't like see. Passport. All that matters is can the fucking horse see. I gotta rewatch Django. Such a good
Don't movie. Y'all come to me and mine for nothing.
And all I hear is criticize. Don't ask me or mine for nothing.
We all agree the masks were a good idea. How about we do this time without the masks?
But next time, we do the masks. We do them right. Still... Fucking like Jonah, one of Jonah Hill's like best short scenes.
I think I made mine worse.
Oh shit, I made mine worse. What are you trying to say? I'm saying it'd be nice to see. I can't see. You can't see. All that matters is can the fucking horse see. Which makes it even better when they cut back and the first thing you see is like two dudes fall off the horse.
Okay, look, let's close this out. Let's do this thing.
We'll do the great tree another time.
We'll do the great tree another time.
Which they are not the same thing. That's all we'll say.
They are completely different.
Yeah. Great trees also, they're from the Ogier are not chore trees.
Yes. Anyway, chore trees. You know, again, I always, as a reader, kind of looked at them with the lens of awe and respect and reverence, but now kind of think about it.
Is it like Halo awe, or is it more like?
Are they? Aw. I was like, oh, are they like a government conspiracy to control the people?
Bruh, that would be a great shirt. Chortrees are a government control conspiracy.
Oh my god! Okay, I'll do it. I'll design that. That'll be a sticker. That'll be a BTP sticker. So if you're a patron, you're gonna get a BTP sticker that says. Something along the lines of chore trees are just a government control. Yeah. Drone.
The chore trees aren't real.
That's it. That's my last thought. Sort of on my hand.
Chore trees equal MK Ultra. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, man. Honestly, like we had great trees on standby because I was looking at like some of the entries and stuff, and I was like, we can't do an hour on chore trees. And to be fair, we probably actually only did about 35 minutes on chore trees.
Yeah.
And
the rest was like, yeah, we got two geeks, one mic with the timer. We'll have them post a comment later with the actual time.
See, this is why this is what happens when you have two geeks and you only give them one mic. That leaves like the other one free to do other shit, like time other shows.
You right.
Yeah. Go over to Two Geeks One Mic, and after you subscribe and like their videos and like their shows, go ahead and review bomb them into oblivion like they tried to do with the Wheel of Time TV show.
Please do that. Please.
Yeah. Please 1 out of 10. I thought three guys talking about beer for 23 minutes like frat boys was bad. This was two guys talking about beer for 40 minutes like frat boys. I think leather was code for beer. Anyway, no, go over and check out Two Geeks One Mic. They're fantastic. Well, one of them is fantastic. The other one is contractually obligated for me to say is fantastic.
That's facts. That's facts.
You can pick which one it is.
I was about to say, you'll never know.
Yeah, review me harder, Dad.
Oh, yeah. 5 stars. Yeah. You think you can take 5 stars?
I'm gonna fight
anyway, chore trees. They're cool. I am now completely sold into the idea that while we give Chore Trees a lot of reverence because of Vendasaur and how rare they are in the time frame we're reading the books, I am fully on board with the they were a government conspiracy to control the emotions and aggression of the cities of the Age of Legends.
Yes! Like,
that half the reason the world was a utopia in the larger cities and conflict was so rare was because, imagine this, you have to have negotiations for peace before war. You're trying to fix things out. So you bring them to Vecine or Perrindisen, where you have the highest concentration of Chora trees. So they're all calm. You figure it out, and then you send them back with Chora trees, and they plant a bunch, so now they stay calm. Like, it's taking over the world without taking over the world. It's like a culture victory in Sid Meier's Civ 5. Or diplomacy victory, maybe. Either way, I like it. I think the Chore Trees are neat. I wish we got to see more of them. I wish I had been more around. I wish maybe they played like a bigger part in dealing with situations. I wish maybe like even Rand had used more of them to take and like calm things down. He does not grow Chore Trees on the field of Marilor. He grows Great Trees, which we'll talk about another time. Probably during another One Hit Wonders episode. Because so far, all of our One Hit Wonders episodes have not actually been truly One Hit Wonders. Something that's just mentioned once and never again. But it's a lot of fun because the concept is essentially really, really short-lived. It's not really explored more. And it feels more like a way to get the word Tree of Life into the show or into the book series than anything else. I would love to see more. We'll see if the show shows them more. But what you can do is show your love and support of the Black Tower Podcast by liking the video, subscribing to the channel if you're not already, sharing it to all of your friends and family. And you know what? If you got somebody in your family that thinks that birds aren't actually real and they need another conspiracy theory and they want to hop on the Chora train, by all
we're
means.
In. We're in. Get
sit on this video. Yeah, let them know.
Toot, motherfucker.
Birds are just the Chora trees of the First Age. That's all it is.
True story. True story. So,
but from all of us here over at the Black Tower Podcast, I have been Andrew, your Bijan Mahal, who is not under the influence of the Tree of Chora.
Maybe. And I am the Sorovan Mahal. My name is Josh. And I am also not under the influence of the Chora. Stay feral, my friends. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Don't buy in to the propaganda.
Don't listen to Big Chora.
Protect yourself. Okay? Big Chora is out to control you. They want to control your mind. Shh, don't tell anyone I told you this. Wherever you are, I hope you leave here just a little bit more.